is in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 2, page 966. 966. Book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, from verse 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is that one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. Amen. Let's pray quickly. The Son is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your only begotten Son, that through him all men might be saved. And as we enter this time of this season, we pray that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified, and men and women would come to know you, would come to know the Son. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Indeed, the world and everything in it belongs to you, O God. Have your way in our lives and everything that we do. We pray that our lives will be a testimony for you, Lord. We were once alienated from you. We didn't know you. We didn't care about you. But your grace found us, and you clothed us with your mercy. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And today we seek you. We seek you with many needs and with many requests. And you know what those needs are and those requests are, Lord. So we sing praise unto you, Lord, that your name will be glorified. Bless your word this morning. Let there be understanding and not misunderstanding. I ask that through your word, lives will be transformed, O God, that you would equip and empower us through your word, refreshing us, O Lord, to do good works. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, do keep it on the book of Matthew chapter 2. I will be preaching from here. As we approach Christmas, it's important to remember that Jesus' parents were not Joseph and Mary Christ. Christ is not a last name. It's a title. And the meaning of the title, Christ, is from the Greek equivalent Hebrew word, Messiah, which means anointed one, a reference to the anointing or pouring of oil on the head of a person chosen for a leadership position. in the Old Testament, there were three types of leaders who were anointed by oil. These were prophets, priests, and kings. So to say Jesus Christ is the same as saying Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Messiah. This man Jesus was chosen by God to fill the position of a king, King of Israel. And the Old Testament is filled with prophecies about the coming Messiah. John read some this morning, such as from the book of Isaiah. And the Old Testament is filled with these prophecies of coming the Messiah, the King, to establish his kingdom and reign over both Israel and all nations. So if Jesus indeed is the promised Messiah, he must come from the royal line. Kings are not elected, they are born. So for Jesus to be Messiah, to be the king, he must have a royal lineage. And this is why Matthew begins his book with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You find that in chapter 1. His purpose here is to demonstrate the kingly or the king credentials of Jesus' kingship. Matthew wants to highlight this point to the Jews, that this baby being born is not just an ordinary baby. He wants the Jews to know that this baby being born is the king. He is the Messiah. And I want to press on this matter too this morning, and I want to look at this with you, that indeed we worship the King of Kings. So my message is entitled, Wise Men Worship the King. Wise men worship the king. And we're going to be looking at chapter 2 through verse 1 to 12. And chapter 2 begins with, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, or traditionally known as wise men, and they came from the east. So, who were these wise men? And where did they come from? And why does Matthew point them out? The Bible tells us very little about the Magi. Their story appears only in the Gospel of Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John are silent. They don't mention the wise men. And the word Magi comes from the Greek word magos, where the English word magic comes from. That's where we get our English word magic. Some scholars believe that they are probably from an area which is now either Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia or in the Yemen. Although they are often called three kings traditionally, the Bible does not say how many they were, or if they were kings at all. Three is only a guess because they brought with them three gifts. And, you know, we watch nativity plays and it's always the three little kids with the carrying the little gifts. But the Bible doesn't say it was three. So that's just a guess because they are carrying three gifts. And we will look at that a bit more later. But they would not have traveled by themselves. They would have servants and a caravan of men and women helping them. Because back then, astronomy and astrology were part of the same overall studies. and science, they went in hand with each other. The Magi would have followed the pattern of the stars religiously. They would have also probably been very rich and held in high esteem in their own society by people who were from their country or not. They were respected and revered. And they had seen an unusual star in the sky. And they knew that it told of the birth of a special king in Israel. So no one really knows what this star really was. In verse 2, Matthew says, "And ask, where is the one who has been born, king of the Jews? We saw his star when he arose and have come to worship him." How did they know about the star? The wise men would have known about the prophecies of a special Jewish savior, also known as the Messiah. Maybe from when the Jews had been held captive in ancient Babylon, 700 years before. And we know that because Daniel, from my iPad just went funny there. Electronics. We know that because Daniel was placed as an overseer over Magi. If you look in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verse 11, this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar talking to Daniel. He says, "There's a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, the magi, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners." So when Daniel was taken captive in Babylon, he was placed as a chief over this group of magi. And so some scholars believe that it is through Daniel that they got to know of this star. So the wise men came first to Jerusalem, assuming that the leaders of the Jews would be aware and be excited about the birth of the Messiah. The wise men, they were about to find out that this was not the case. In verse 3, we read, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." So the fact that all Jerusalem was troubled with Herod, this is significant. This could be due either to the fact that people of Jerusalem rightly feared Herod, how he would respond to having a rivalry king. But however, we traditionally we have this picture of three old, feeble, wise old men riding on camel. But that's not the true picture of the Magi. Magi were powerful people. They were Middle Eastern kingmakers. They would pronounce kings. So when they came to Jerusalem, this must have been very, very powerful sight to behold. They were revered and respected. And so it's not a small matter for the evil Herod to be scared. This is not a small matter. He knew this group. He knew what they say was to be true and respected and revered. He feared the news so much so that in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2, he says, "He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi." So Herod, being an evil man by nature, he wanted no rivalry. So he ordered all the boys 2 years old and under to be killed. Because he knew if the Magi say a king had been born, a king had been born indeed. And that is important to Matthew, because he's showing that this Jesus is the king. But they were disturbed at this powerful news. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. This troubled him. Now, this doesn't mean that they had come to pay him religious homage or adore him in that sense. They regarded him as king of the Jews. But there's no evidence that they supposed that he was divine. They came to honor him as a prince, as a king. But Christ had not come to set up an earthly kingdom. He had come to be the king of redemption. His kingdom was to be spiritual. He was to reign in the hearts of men and women. In the book of John, chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." And then in verse 17, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and come into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So Jesus said of his own birth, "The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." Albert Barnes, his commentary says, "Jesus does not here affirm that he was born to reign or that this was the design of his coming, but it was to bear witness and to exhibit the truth. By this he showed that was the nature of his kingdom. It was not to assert power, not to collect armies, not to subdue nations in the battle. It was simply to represent truth to men and to exercise dominion only by the truth." So what's interesting is that Jesus did not deny that he was king. In fact, he said, "You're right in saying I am a king." Our Lord is king. In John chapter 12, verse 12, "The next day the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your King is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.'" Luke chapter 1, verse 32. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Again, John chapter 1, verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So here's my question to you this morning. Is he your king? Does he have authority over your life? Christmas, beloved, is about the King of Kings. Do you know him? Do you know that everything was made for him, through him? Colossians 1:16, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and
before him. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Do you know him? We were made for him. We were made for his glory. Do you know your King? I'm in the high streets handing out tracts, and I see millions of people celebrating the birth of a King they do not know. Do you know him? Verse 9 of Matthew chapter 2. After they had heard the king talking about Herod, they went on their way. And the star they had seen, when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there have been many attempts to explain the Christmas star scientifically. And so the conclusion is that the star of Bethlehem cannot naturally be explained by science. It was temporary and supernatural. Some suggest that it was a natural star, and some suggest it was the glory of God, like when Israel was led by a pillar of fire at night and day of a cloud at day in Exodus. The star guided the Magi to the doorstep of the child. And do you know the interesting thing is that only the Magi could see the star. No one else saw it. If they did see it, it meant nothing to them. It meant nothing. It's a sobering thought to think that some people will only ever see the birth of Jesus as the birth of a baby in Bethlehem, and that's it. But not as the birth of a king. Not as the birth of God in flesh. It just shows not everyone will know the King. As a new convert, I remember when I became a born again Christian. It was actually in November, just late November, and I was a new convert, excited about the things of God. And December came, everyone celebrating Christmas, and it suddenly hit me, as a new Christian, as a babe, it just hit me. Christmas about Jesus. And that simple revelation got me so excited. I went to my friend's house where we used to meet upstairs in his bedroom. There's about 10 lads all sitting in there and getting up to no good. And I said, guys, do you know Christmas is about Jesus? And there was a silence in the room and everyone looked at me like, okay. I said, no, seriously. Christmas is about Jesus. Guys, it's about Jesus. And then everyone knows that, man. I said, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. It's about Jesus. See, I was excited. I was born again. I knew Jesus. I knew he saved me from the wrath. I knew he had rescued me from the bondage of sin. And I kept asking. But they didn't know him. They didn't know him as King. They didn't know him as Savior. They only knew him as, he's somewhere over there. The baby was born. Yes, I remember hearing that. Yeah. But they didn't know him as King. Is that your story this morning? Is that your story this morning? You come to church to sing Christmas carols because that's what you do at Christmas time. You buy cards and gifts because that's what you do at Christmas time. Or do you know that is the celebration of the birth of a king. And do you know the nature of this king?
I'm struggling with my throat this morning, so I'm going to go easy on everybody. I'm really struggling, forgive me.
But you can see the providence of God in using the Magi's to validate Christ's kingship to Joseph and Mary. Preparing the Magi beforehand to look out for the specific star. Magi's were what we call today sorcerers or diviners or interpreters or even mediums, some would say. They are students of the mysterious world. They were basically pagans. And yet God, in His infinite wisdom, chose to give Magi the sign of the birth of the king. And they were more excited about the birth of the king than the religious leaders were. Who should have known better? If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, talking about Herod, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In verse 5, they replied, "In Bethlehem, in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written." So they knew. The religious leaders knew of his coming. They knew where he would be born. But did they go to pay homage? Did they go to worship? They knew the scriptures, but had not experienced his grace. They didn't even go looking for him. And all that Herod cared about, even when confronted with truth, he only cared about his position as a king. He wanted no rivalry, no one to replace him as king. And that's what he cared about. And can I dare to ask you this morning, what is stopping you from making Christ your king? When somebody is considering to come to church, the most common things I hear, they say, is Chandi, I'm going to come to church, but do I have to give up this? Do I have to stop going over there? Do I have to stop doing that? And I'm thinking, beloved, when Christ becomes your king, it's not about giving up this or giving up that. It's about how can I be used better? How can I be more useful to the king?
Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These precious gifts were typical of what would be presented to a king, just as the queen of Sheba presented gold and spices to King Solomon. You see, the wise men worshipped the king. The idea that they were three wise men comes from the fact that there was three gifts. Gold representing royalty, frankincense representing priesthood, and myrrh representing death. It's been traditionally looked at that way. But nevertheless, these wise men, these king makers, this class of astronomy and astrologers worshipped the king. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus
every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a time when everything that is made will confess that Christ is King. Either with joyful faith or with resentment, there will come a time everybody will confirm that He is King. The second coming of Christ will be with power. It will be with glory. You see, the first time Jesus came unnoticed into the world, didn't He? Nobody noticed. Every eye will see Him in the second coming. The first coming, Jesus humbled Himself, being born in a stable in Bethlehem. When He returns, He will come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the wise men were wise. They were very wise to worship Him. You'll be wise to make Him King and worship Him with your life. Because the second coming is not coming as a baby. He's coming as a judge. He's coming with a bang, as they say. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He comes again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible tells us, or Matthew records, that they bought Him gifts. And do you know what we can give Him as a gift? Our lives. Our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me and for the gospel will save it. Beloved, the only rational response to God's mercy in giving us eternal life by giving us His only begotten Son is for us to give Him our lives as a sacrifice. Surrender your life to Christ, not half of it. Not a quarter, not just for Christmas, not just for Easter, not just for Sundays. He demands all of it. Someone said, you don't lose a seed when you plant it. Though it seems dead and buried, instead you set the seed free to be what it was always intended to be. Whoever loses his life for My sake and the gospel's will save it. We must follow Christ this way because it's the only way. The Magi were wise because they knew who to worship. They traveled hundreds of miles to pay homage to the King of the Jews. And I close with Matthew Henry's observation on the matter. He says this, talking about the Magi. They presented themselves to Him. They fell down. They worshipped Him. We did not read that they gave such an honor to Herod, though he was the highest of his royal grandeur. But to this babe they gave their honor. Not only as a king, then they would have done the same to Herod, but as to God. Not all that have found Christ fall down before Him. They adore Him and submit themselves to Him. He is thy Lord and worship thy Him. It will be the wisdom of the wisest of men. By this it will appear they know Christ and understand themselves
and their true interest if they be humble, faithful worshippers of the Lord Jesus. And my prayer this morning is that you would know your King. Is that you would know your King. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us your Son. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, and making him kings of all kings. Father, I pray for those who do not know him as a king, that as from today, you'd open their eyes, that they would believe, that they would know that he is God. We surrender this service unto your hands and all that has been done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.